Good morning, everybody. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Would you please pray with me as we get started? Jesus, we come to you on this Resurrection Sunday with hearts that are full of gratitude, but hearts that are also aware of who we are. And so now we ask that you will quiet our hearts and our minds so that we can hear from you, Jesus. We thank you for what you have done on the cross for us. We remember and we live in that. We celebrate that today. So we honor you. We live for you. We lay everything down at the foot of the cross. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. I can remember the day my entire life changed. It wasn't the day I got my first car or the day I went off to college or when I got my driver's license or anything like that. It was the day I started wearing glasses. It was the day I started wearing glasses. And this day was significant to me because up until this point, everything that I looked at was hazy and blurry. So I would spend every second of my awake life squinting and struggling to see. And this made school really challenging, and pretty much everything else that I did was a challenge. And then my mom eventually realized what the problem was, and so she took me to get some glasses. And I did the whole eye exam thing, you know, where you have to cover one eye and try to read the chart, then cover the other eye, try to read the chart. And I did horribly. Like, the doctor was like, "Wow, I've never seen someone do this bad." I felt bad walking out of that eye exam. Like, wow, I really set a record for the kid who has the worst vision. And so I can remember we did the eye exam, we ordered glasses, and I can remember when my glasses came in, I tried them on for the first time, and trying on those glasses for the first time opened up a whole new world to me, because I could now see. And because I can now see, I could focus in school, and I could watch TV without having to be this close to the screen, and I could read a book without having to hold the book this close. Being able to see clearly changed my life. And it made all the difference for me. It's Easter Sunday, Antioch, and Easter Sunday is all about being able to see clearly. Being able to see who we are, and more importantly, being able to see who Jesus is. And when you read the Gospels, you really do get this wide range of the emotions and the feelings that different people experienced when they heard that Jesus had risen from the dead. You know, some people were shocked. Some were confused. Some were skeptical. And some people doubted at first. Some people thought it was just this made-up plot all along. And just like today, some people just simply did not believe it. But out of all the people, when you read the Gospels, out of all the people that we get to read about, I think there's one person in particular who, like, really embodies the feelings and the emotions that come with Easter Sunday. And that person is Mary Magdalene. If you recall, Mary was someone who personally knew about the healing power of Jesus. And at one point in her life, before she became a follower of Jesus, she had been inflicted with 7 demonic spirits. 7 demonic spirits. And then she has this encounter with Jesus, and he completely heals her from each of them. And from that moment on, Mary is like all in for Jesus. And she devotes the rest of her life to following and serving Jesus. And so as we look at this, we read about things like her joining the 12 disciples and other women when they traveled around with Jesus and they saw him perform miracles and healing the sick. And then just a couple of days ago, on Good Friday, we reflected on the gruesome and the bloody scene at the cross. And when so many of Jesus' followers deserted him and fled, guess who was right there at the crucifixion? Mary. So Mary wasn't someone who just knew about Jesus. She knew Jesus. She knew Jesus. She knew him intimately. She knew him personally. So we see that Mary loved Jesus. In fact, she loved him so much that as we began to look at this today, we see that she's on her way to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And this act of anointing someone's body, this wasn't something that they did for everyone. This was what they did for someone who had passed away to show respect and to show honor for their life. So she's on her way to the tomb when she notices that the stone has been rolled away. She runs and she tells Peter and John, and they both take off running to the tomb. And even though John gets to the tomb first, he sort of stops outside the tomb and he doesn't go straight in. Then Peter arrives second and he wastes no time. Peter goes straight into the tomb. And while all of this is going on between John and Peter, while all of this is going on, look what it says in verse 11. Here we go. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look inside the tomb. So get this, Antioch, get this. Mary is so distraught and she's devastated, she can't even go inside the tomb. She stands outside the tomb crying, and then she, after a while, she finally musters up enough strength to bend over and look inside. And look what it says in verse 12. So she looks inside, it says, and saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. So I don't want us to rush past this verse because the angels play a significant part here. They weren't there to guard Jesus' body because he'd already been resurrected. And they weren't there to try to figure out what happened. Instead, they were there to signify that everything Mary was seeing was from God. God had divinely sent them to the empty tomb of Jesus as a way of showing and demonstrating that this miracle that she is witnessing can only come from the hand of God and his hand at work. And we see this concept throughout the Bible and other places. It's the same when the angel told the other Mary that she would have the baby Jesus, or when you see the angel speak to Zechariah. There are certain places in the Bible where God really, really wanted to emphasize that what's taking place is from him. And this is one of those instances. So the angels here, they're signifying that what's taking place is from God. Then the angels speak, and they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Look what she says. "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Remember, at this point, Mary still doesn't quite understand the resurrection and that Jesus would rise from the dead. So in her mind, the fact that she doesn't see Jesus means someone must have taken him. But what do we know, Antioch? What do we know? Things aren't always as they appear. She saw him die on the cross. She knew they placed him in the tomb. And now that she sees the stone rolled away and that Jesus isn't there anymore, surely someone must have taken Jesus. But things aren't always as they appear. What does this mean for us today? It means that a situation might look hopeless. A problem might look unsolvable, or the relationship might look beyond repair. A diagnosis might look beyond cure. But just because something looks a certain way doesn't mean that it is. Why? Because Jesus is still in control, and he has the final thing say in everything that you face. This is why it says, church, we walk by faith and not by sight, because what you see can be scary. What you see can be painful. What you see can be hard to understand. But we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight. So church, today, if your problem looks hopeless, take your eyes off the problem and put them on Jesus. She says, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." And as soon as she says this, look what it says. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. The exact person she's been looking for, the exact reason why she's been crying, is now standing right in front of her. But she's so caught up in the moment, she's so overcome with grief that she doesn't even recognize Jesus. Church, let me ask us, how many times can you look back and say, "I didn't realize it at the time, but Jesus was right there with me the entire time"? I didn't realize it at the time, but Jesus was with me during this difficult season. I didn't realize it at the time, but he was with me. He was protecting me, keeping me during that trying season, that painful season. Jesus is always with us, even when we don't recognize him. Mary is so caught up in the moment, she doesn't recognize Jesus. Then Jesus asked her a question. It's similar to the question that the angels asked her. "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Here's what's beautiful about Jesus' question. He already knows why she's crying. He already knows why she's crying. He knows what's causing her tears to flow. It's not like he was completely unaware of how Mary was feeling and needed her to answer the question to get caught up in her life. No, he knows what's causing her pain. Let me remind us, Jesus knows when his children are in pain. He knows when his children are hurting. And he knows all about your tears as well. So when life is falling apart, and you're at your lowest, and it feels like life is coming undone, you can go to Jesus because he knows when his children are crying. Woman, why are you crying? It's the same question that he asked us today, not to try to get us to stop crying, but to realize he hears us when we do cry. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him." And then look what she says, "Tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus, get this, Jesus is standing right in front of Mary, but Mary is missing it because she thinks she needs to do something for Jesus. And I think this is such an important verse for us because, yes, there are times when Jesus asks us to do things, but then there's times when we just simply need to rest in the presence of Jesus. And I think so many times we get caught up in trying to do things for Jesus, trying to do good things, that we miss being with Jesus. I heard a quote once that stuck with me years ago. It says, "In what ways is my doing for Jesus interfering with my being with Jesus? In what ways is my doing for Jesus interfering with my being with Jesus?" Mary, at this point, she wants to do something. She wants to go get Jesus, not realizing Jesus is right there. She doesn't need to do anything at this moment. Just rest in the presence of Jesus. Let me ask you, are you taking time to rest in the presence of Jesus? Or is your life so consumed with doing and doing and doing and doing? And yes, they may be good things, but are you simply resting and being a child of the King? Look at verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She's been having this conversation with Jesus, not realizing that it was him all along until he called her name. And when she hears Jesus call her name, she immediately recognizes that it is him. Notice, Mary doesn't have to turn around and ask, "Hey, how do you know my name?" She knew it was Jesus because she recognized his voice. And he knew her name, and in that exact moment, she goes from sorrow to joy. When she realizes the Savior knows her name, she goes from sorrow to joy. Let me remind you, Antioch, Jesus knows your name. And when I say name, I don't mean just your first name like John or Sam or Susan, but he knows your name, meaning he knows you. He knows you, he sees you, and he has you in the palm of his hands. Maybe today on Easter Sunday you feel lonely. Let me remind you, Jesus knows your name. Maybe you feel like nobody cares about you, nobody sees you. Let me remind you, Jesus knows your name. Maybe you feel like life is beating you up. Let me remind you, Jesus knows your name. Maybe life has just handed you a series of disappointments lately. Let me remind you, Jesus knows your name. I was talking with a guy the other day who had several kids, and all of his kids are grown, and they've moved out the house. But what I loved about this conversation was he was still able to tell me each of his kids' names and how they're doing in life, his kids' spouses' names and how they're doing in life, and his grandchildren and how they're doing in life. That's how it is with our loving Savior. Jesus never has so much going on that he forgets about you. He sees you, he knows your name, and he knows how you are doing. So today, whatever you come into this building with today, whatever season of life you're in, wherever is going on in your life, just know Jesus knows your name. At this point, after hearing her name, not only has her mood changed, not only has her day changed, but Mary's entire life has changed. And she is so overcome with joy that she tries to hold on to Jesus. And I love that image of Mary trying to hold on to Jesus, because I think it beautifully captures the essence of Easter Sunday. He's risen from the dead. And because of that, I want this fellowship with Jesus. I want communion with Jesus. I want to be close to Jesus. I want to hold on to my Savior. But look what Jesus tells her in verse 17. Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Then notice what he says. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. This is not a rejection of Mary, but instead it's a redirection from Mary. This is not a rejection of Mary. When she tries to hold on to Jesus and he says, don't hold on to me, this is not a rejection of Mary. This is a redirection for Mary. Mary was holding on to Jesus because she did not want to lose him again. Beautiful as it is, what Jesus is actually telling her is, Mary, I love you and I know that you love me, but I have important work for you to do now. And that work is for you to go and tell the good news that I have risen. Remember, keep in mind, Mary's the first person to see the risen Savior. As you grow more and more in love with Jesus, church, don't be surprised if Jesus redirects your plans. This is why we always want to remain open to Jesus moving in our lives, because we may think we have an idea of what we want to do. We may think we have plans, that we have hopes and dreams, but Jesus can say, go instead. Mary wanted to hold on to Jesus, but he had other plans for her. So let me ask you, in what ways has Jesus redirected you? In what ways did you want to do something in life? And instead, Jesus says, go instead. And I love what Mary does next. Look what it says. It says she goes to the disciples and says, I have seen the Lord. This is the most important thing Mary has ever seen in her life, because remember, she's seen a lot of things in her life. She had been cured of 7 demons, and she's seen other people be cured. She's seen Jesus do miracles. She's seen him brutally beaten on the cross. But now, church, now, she's seen the most important thing in her life. She's seen the resurrected Jesus. Let me ask you, Antioch, have you seen Jesus? Can you say like Mary, I have seen the Lord? Not with your eyes, but with your heart. With your heart. You've seen a lot of things in your life, but have you seen the Lord? When I got those glasses, I could see better. But the best thing I've ever seen is seeing Jesus with my heart. And when you see Jesus, not only can you see Jesus, but you can see him working in your life. You can see him moving in your heart. You can see him transforming you from the inside out. The resurrection changes everything, because we can see the risen Savior. We can feel the risen Savior moving in our life. Let me ask again, have you seen Jesus? And remember, Mary still didn't understand exactly how Jesus rose from the dead, but she didn't let that stop her. She didn't let what she didn't know stop her from what she could see. And what she could see was that Jesus was alive. She had Jesus, and with him, everything was going to be okay. And I think Mary shows us something very important, because we may not always understand everything in this life, but one thing we see is that Jesus lives. We may not see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you can see Jesus. You may not see how things are going to work out, but you can see Jesus. Jesus. When life doesn't make sense and you can't see your way out, the most important thing you can see is Jesus. So let me ask you again, have you seen Jesus? If you haven't seen Jesus, I want to invite you today to make the most important decision you will ever make in your life, and that is to put your trust in Jesus. He changes everything, including the way you see life. And if you have put your trust in Jesus, you've seen the most important thing you will ever see, the risen Savior, and that is enough. Amen? We've talked about a lot today, so I want to leave us with a few points to remember. Number one, remember, Easter Sunday is about seeing Jesus clearly for who he is and what he has done on the cross. He took the punishment that we deserved, nailed our sins to the cross. This is something we could never do on our own. Took our punishment that we deserve, nailed our sins to the cross. He died on the cross, but he did not stay dead. He rose, and that's what we celebrate. Have you seen Jesus? Number two, remember, things are not always as they appear. Remember, Mary saw things, and she thought someone must have taken Jesus. Things are not always as they appear. If you're going through a hopeless situation today, you can't see your way out. Things are not always as they appear. Jesus is always in control. Number three, remember, Jesus knows all about your tears. He knew why Mary was crying. And he knows why you're crying. Number four, don't let doing for Jesus interfere with being with Jesus. In what ways is my doing for Jesus interfering with my being with Jesus? Number five, be open to Jesus redirecting your life. Remember, Mary wanted to hold on to Jesus, and what does he say? Go instead. In what ways has Jesus, or maybe even now in life, in what ways is Jesus saying, go instead? And then number six, let me ask, who can you tell I have seen the Lord? Mary had the task of going and telling the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that's what Easter Sunday is about, telling people, I have seen the Lord, co-workers, neighbors, people in your community. Who can you tell, I have seen the Lord? Because you have seen the most important thing you will ever see. I have seen the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen.